Welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton, all about new beginnings and bringing life to dead things. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, pastor, evangelist, and in these moments today, he's going to be talking about what resurrection can really mean, how resurrecting things is a part of who God is. He brings dead things to life. Whether it's a relationship, a situation, a circumstance, a career, a dream, boy, we would love to pray with you about what God needs to resurrect in your life. Let us pray alongside you just by giving us a call at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. Now today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Were you there when they crucified our Lord? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are worshiping you today. We're coming into your presence, and we are many. Lord, even here in our own city, we're worshiping in different venues. Not only today, thousands upon thousands of them all across the United States of America and around the world. Lord, I'm speaking to someone live streaming right now who's rethinking. Lord, there comes a time in each one of our lives where, with all the busyness and our children and our grandchildren and getting ready for school the next day and graduating, getting a good job, worrying about how to make ends meet, we find ourselves peering into the empty tomb, really, that was right there in that garden at the foot of the cross. For they took Jesus down and they placed him in that tomb. Lord, we're asking you right now to speak to us. And we're praying this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you today to take a copy of God's Word. And I'm going to ask everyone to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. That's the first of the Gospels. And you may or may not be aware of this, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all very much part of this incredible event that we call Easter, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were four of the 12 followers of Christ. And what may interest you is that each one of them wrote about what took place. Now, I want to begin by reading to you in Matthew chapter 28. Now, after the Sabbath, this is verse 1, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." So if you go back into the Old Testament, and you'll remember how God came to Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac and go and sacrifice him." And he went up Mount Moriah, and just before he killed Isaac, God said, "No, I have a much better way. It's through the shedding of the blood, my blood. This is going to be the way." And that took place on Mount Moriah. And that's where Solomon built the temple. I'm going to say a little bit about that in a minute. That's where Jesus is going to set up his reign for all time and eternity. That is the center of heaven. And so it was There's the Dome of the Rock. This valley going down here is called the Kidron Valley. That there is the Mount of Olives that overlooks the old city of Jerusalem. Right up on the top here is the Mount of Ascension, the highest point. That's where Jesus ascended back up into heaven. And that's the exact point where Jesus is going to come back down from heaven. So you've got Gehenna, the Valley of Gehenna. You've got the Kidron Valley. And right in the middle of this is Mount Moriah. This is the city of Jerusalem as it is today with all the different gates. The Jaffa Gate on the western side. There is the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate, which leads across to the Garden of Gethsemane and ultimately to the Mount of Ascension. And that Golden Gate is sealed shut even as we speak. And the prophet tells us that no one will ever open that gate excepting the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes back, he's going to march right through that gate and he's going to set up his kingdom. This is heaven. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, you're going to be part of all of these events. So what happened in order for us to understand how it is that we are going to be on this earth, which will be heaven? How will it be heaven? Because it will be recreated. Everything will go back to the Garden of Eden. From before, right at the time of the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth. But remember that there will be no separation. There will be no difference between heaven up there and earth down here. There'll be no more gravity. The sea will be gone. The separation will be taken away. Everything will be one during heaven. And this entire earth is going to be heaven. This is where we're going to live for all time and eternity. According to the book of Revelation in chapter 21, God said it. God said, from now on, I'm making my dwelling place among men, with man on earth. And God's heavenly Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven. And this is all going to be transformed. If I had time today, I'd explain to you the four quarters of Jerusalem today. You have the Armenian quarter. You have the Jewish quarter. You have the Christian quarter. And you have the Muslim quarter. The four intersects of the world, all living right there, right where Jesus will establish his kingdom forever. What happened here? Well, the first thing that happened was that we need to rethink the upper room. Now, the upper room was literally a room. Jesus, at the time of the Passover, and we see it many times, Luke chapter 22 tells us all about this. We see Jesus calling his disciples together. This was the night before Jesus was betrayed. So in our way of thinking, this would have been Thursday, right? And he called them together into the upper room, which is right about here. And when he gathered them together, he broke bread and he took the cup. And the bottom line of what he did with his disciples was, he said to them, whatever it is you do for the rest of your life, always remember, don't forget. Don't forget what you're about to see. Don't forget that I, Jesus, am giving my life for you. Well, after this supper in the upper room, Jesus would have walked out and down the valley of Gehenna. I want you to just think about that. Jesus, with his disciples who went with him, began his journey to the cross. And he would have walked over hell. Now, I believe that that's very significant because Jesus was about to conquer sin and death and the grave, hell. He was about to conquer death. So Jesus was walking on his way to the cross as he began this journey, came down this valley, he took a left turn, and he went up this valley called the Kidron Valley. It is also known in the Hebrew as the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And in the Hebrew tongue, that is translated the Valley of Judgment. Jesus walked down the valley of hell over it, turned and walked up the Valley of Judgment, and he came to this place here called the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane is a place, and it has beautiful caves there. In fact, one of the gospel writers tell us that every day during the last days of Jesus' life, he would teach at the temple, and then he would go and sleep on the Mount of Olives. He would go to these very caves, and it was in this cave, you will remember, that Jesus met Nicodemus, who came to Jesus and said to him, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "You must be born again. You need to give your heart to me." And so Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we rethink the garden, I think we must think about agonizing submission. Because the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42 that Jesus fell on his knees before the Father. Take this cup. You see, Jesus was both God and man. He was fully man, tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knew what suffering was. He understood the pain, the agony of the cross. And in his humanity, because he was dying for humanity, for us, he turned to the Father and said, "Father, could you please take the cup of the suffering? Nevertheless, because I'm Jesus, the Son of God, because I am God, I do what you want me to do, not what I want to do." He was willingly submissive. And they came, the soldiers and everybody came, and they arrested him, and they began to keel-haul him all the way down the Kidron Valley. What does the Kidron Valley mean? It means the Valley of Judgment. The word Kidron, literally translated, means destiny in the Hebrew text. Jesus was dragged up the Valley of his Judgment, and he was keel-hauled down his destiny. Why did Jesus come to this earth? What was his destiny? To go to a cross and to die for your sin and mine, by the power of God, be raised on the third day so that we might have life.
Oh, forgive the interruption. We do celebrate that freshness, that newness of life. You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. In case you've just tuned in, a well-known author, pastor, evangelist, and I've known him now for over 25 years. And here's the greatest thing I can tell you about him. He loves Jesus with nothing held back. He's an all-in pastor, and he's an all-in teacher. And in these moments together, we have created this broadcast together because we believe, more importantly, God has led Dr. Wilton to say, we need to have a conversation, not just a presentation. The Lord has empowered our pastor to teach in a divinely inspired way. But that's not all we're here to do. We are the encouraging word, and we'd love to encourage you. For some, you'd rather do that keyboard to keyboard, so let's connect on our website at theencouragingword.org. But some of you are like me, you enjoy a conversation. Let's talk. Let us pray with you right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. The reality is not just during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. That will route to one of us happy to talk, to listen, to pray, to connect with resources that will help you grow, that will help you be encouraged. The number again, 866-899-9673. Now back to Dr. Don Wilton.
He walked down the Valley of Destiny, came all this way down here, and he was keel-hauled, being whipped all the way up to the house of Annas. Annas the high priest. Annas the high priest. By the way, not too far from the upper room. By the way, Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest, because Annas began to ask Jesus loaded questions. Have you ever had someone ask you a loaded question? You know full well what the answer is. Why did you even ask the question to begin with? Well, Annas looked at Jesus and said to him, excuse me, aren't you the one who has been teaching these disciples and doing good works and telling the Jews about God and that you are God? And Jesus turned and said, excuse me, why are you asking me this loaded question? Am I not the one that you have seen doing all of these things? You know what Jesus got in response to that? One of the soldiers beat him up, said to him, don't you ever talk to Annas. We got a picture here of the almightiness of man standing in the presence of a sovereign God. How high can we get before we get permission to slap God in the face? Who has authority over him? So Annas said, off with you. And Matthew 26 and verse 57 said, Annas sent him to the house of Caiaphas. And when you get to the house of Caiaphas, there are pits there that go all the way down as far as you can see. You know what they did with Jesus? They threw him into that pit, and darkness closed over him. In fact, the psalmist David even wrote about it in Psalm 88. Can you imagine Jesus being willing to be thrown and totally abandoned in the bottom of a pit so dark that you cannot see your hand in front of your face? And after he had spent the night there, Caiaphas, who absolutely didn't know what to do with him any more than his father-in-law Annas knew what to do with him, said to him, off with you. And so Caiaphas sent him right over here. You see the Temple Mount there? And there's this place here right next to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's still right there. This is called the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the headquarter meeting place of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. These were the religious, these were the ultimate clergy. These were the people who called the shots when it came to everything from morality to how it is that you have anything to do. You know what happened there at the Sanhedrin? Jesus got condemned. And what took place here, that Jesus was taken and he stood before the people you think would have known better. And you know the interesting thing about the religious people of their day? Everybody out there followed them. They said, man, go and ask him. And if he said it, it's done. So they said, nope, we believe he needs to be condemned. So the Sanhedrin sent Jesus over here to this place on this side, on the northern face of the Temple Mount. Guess who was there? You heard of his name, haven't you? His name is Pontius Pilate. And there was Pilate. And he was presented with this incredible, incredible, unbelievable quandary, and yet not. Because the crowd demanded at the time of the Passover that at least one condemned person be set free. So he looked at them and he said, well, how about Jesus? I don't know that he's done anything that warrants execution on a cross. They said, crucify him! Crucify him! And so he looked around, and of course there he found a very good and willing substitute. His name was Barabbas. Let me tell you about Barabbas. Barabbas was a convicted felon. He was guilty as charged. He was a murderer, an insurrectionist. And he had been sentenced to death on the cross to be crucified. And Jesus stood there and Pontius Pilate washed his hand. No condemnation, Barabbas. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, who was spotless, would love us so much that the very purpose for which he came to die was to set free a criminal condemned? Said, no, Barabbas, you go. I'll take your place. And so they took him from this area here to this place called Ecce Homo, E-C-C-O-H-O-M-O. And they took him to this place, and there they tied him up. They put a robe around him. They made a crown of thorns, and they slammed it on his head, and they began to beat him, and beat him, and beat him. And they fell down, and they began to mock him, and they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And They spat in his face, merciless flogging. And so they took him out of there, out onto that street, began to lead him down what you and I know as the Via Doloroso, onto the outskirts of the city, which came about there during Jesus' time. And while they were going, Matthew 27:32 says, a man by the name of Simon from Cyrene passed by. And they said, hey, you come carry this man's cross. You know, with Simon of Cyrene, the Bible says, were his two sons, Alexander and Rufus. Did you know, by the way, that later on Paul in Romans 16 and also in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 11 and verse 12, we find a commendation of Rufus and of the people from Cyrene concerning their witness? Is it supposedly, I don't know this, do you suppose that these little boys might have seen their daddy carrying the cross of Jesus? And so it is that they came to Golgotha. The bottom line is Jesus went to the place of the skull, and there they hanged him on that tree between two thieves, and sin died. This was the death of sin. This is what caused the Apostle Paul to say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus, because death has lost its sting. Death, where is your sting? Grave, Gehenna, hell, death, where is your victory? And on the third day, by the power of God, he was raised from the dead, and they took him and they placed him into that tomb. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And there it is. The Bible says there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen. Come and see the place where he lay. And Jesus came up out of the grave. Do you know what happened? He not only came up out of the grave, but he went and met some of them on the road to Emmaus, way down here. Then he went to the Sea of Galilee over the hills of Samaria, and he met with them right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And then Jesus went up to the Mount of Ascension, and all of a sudden he was taken up in their very presence. And an angel of the Lord came and said, why are you looking up? I want you to know that the same Jesus who went up is going to come back down again. The Bible says, at a time known only by the Father who is in heaven, Jesus will come back, and he's going to land right there with all of those of us who belong to him. And he's going to march all the way down the Mount of Olives, past the Church of the Teardrop and the Basilica of Agony, right past the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's going to cross, and this golden gate is going to open up, and he's going to march onto this Temple Mount. And get this, the Bible says that when Jesus comes, you're never going to believe this. You've got to rethink this. When Jesus comes, the Bible says, there's going to be an earthquake, and the land is going to divide, and the fault is going to go from Mount Moriah right to Golgotha, and rivers of living water are going to come flowing out of Jesus the Christ, because he is our living water. And that living water is going to flow down into the valley of destiny. And the water is going to flow down this valley. And when it gets down to the bottom of this valley at the intersection, it's going to flow right over the very gate of hell, because it's the living water who has sealed once and for all my death and my suffering and my eternal pain and my shame. And the water is going to take a left-hand turn, and it's going to zip around this way, and it's going to go right over those hills that you can see way in the distance, and it's going to come right out in the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is going to come back to life again, because he is life.
Jesus is life. Oh my goodness, what an exciting time of teaching with Dr. Wilton today. There's more to come tomorrow, but before we get away, Dr. Wilton would like to share this moment with you heart to heart.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now.
Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Now, if the Lord has stirred your heart, either during these moments with the pastor just in the studio here seconds ago, or perhaps earlier in the message from God's Word itself, God has stirred your heart to a new decision. Perhaps it's a new commitment to bring freshness and new life to a part of your life that has somehow become cold. Again, we would love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's the phone number. I know we text and we type, but sometimes this is the kind of situation where you'd really like to have someone praying with you and for you, and it would be our joy. 866-899-9673. Or if you'd prefer keyboard, let's go keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org. Now, before we get away, another thought from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Hello, my friends. I want to just personally speak to you for a minute today from my heart to yours. I hope you're having a great day today. I don't think that there's ever been a more better or perhaps important time for us to respond to this world by standing up for righteousness. I know that you'll agree with me. In fact, with this in mind, I'd like to invite you to become an Encourager ministry partner with me. Together we can impact lives both now and for all eternity. The Daily Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please, let me ask you to call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and say, I want to become an encourager. Thanks so much for helping me.
Thank you for sharing these moments together with us at The Encouraging Word, featuring Dr. Don Wilton. Moments ago, when Dr. Wilton was talking about the possibility of becoming an encourager, perhaps you'd like to discover more. You can give us a call at 866-899-WORD and ask for a brochure that Dr. Don would call it. He calls it brochure. It's a piece of paper folded over three times. It will give you lots of information, but you can find that information online as well at theencouragingword.org, or perhaps none of that is necessary. The Lord has stirred your heart and you want to give. We would love to receive that and invest that and watch it bring forth fruit every single day. Someone, for the very first time, gives their heart to Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Encouraging Word. Be a part by calling 866-899-WORD.